Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We're looking at Luke chapter 24 today, and in this broadcast, we're going to wind up our studies of the book of Luke. We're going to finish out this chapter and finish out this book today. So let's begin in Luke chapter 24, verse 46. After Jesus talked about the fact that he was prophesied of in the Old Testament, and he opened their understanding so that they would understand the scriptures, the Bible says in verse 46 of Luke 24, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Jesus said, This was written, and it behooved Christ to suffer." Now, to behoove means to make it necessary. And what Jesus is saying here was that it was written, and therefore it was necessary that he himself suffer and rise from the dead the third day. Why was it necessary? Because it was written. And God delivered those Old Testament prophecies. So those prophecies of the Old Testament were declarations of God himself. Those were statements and promises of God himself about what would happen in the future. And so when God talks about the future, he's not guessing at it. He's not hoping about it. He's not saying that something might happen. God is telling man exactly what will occur. And so Jesus said that it was necessary that these scriptures be fulfilled, which said in the Old Testament that the Messiah would suffer and also that he would rise from the dead. But also, he says in verse 47, that it was also necessary that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So God wants, first of all, repentance to be preached. He wants, in the gospel age, for gospel preachers to preach repentance. And if we're not preaching repentance, we're not preaching the gospel. Repentance is calling men to turn from sin. It is calling upon men to turn away from sin, to change their minds and their hearts, and to turn to God Almighty. Now, when he talks about remission of sins, he's talking about forgiveness of sins. And we're going to talk about the meaning of that and what is essential for it even more in just a few minutes. So the Bible says, notice it, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, that is, by his authority, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, let me take you back in your mind right now to a passage that we've referred to several times in the Old Testament. It is Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 4. And that is where Isaiah talked about the church. He talked about the church and how that kingdom or the church, the house of the Lord, would be established in Jerusalem and that all nations would flow into it, and that the Word of God would be taught beginning there in Jerusalem. So what we find here is that Old Testament prophecy is now about to be fulfilled as well. That is, the teaching of the gospel beginning in Jerusalem. It's amazing, folks. When you let the Bible explain itself, when you put the Bible together, when you put passages in the Bible side by side, the Bible becomes more clear than it ever has been before in your life. Now, in verse 48, he says, "And you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Now, we're again going to let the Bible explain for us and to us what that promise was. Let's keep reading here. He says, "But tarry ye," that is, wait, "in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Notice what he says here in Luke chapter 24. He says that repentance and remission of sins, notice the phrase, remission of sins, is going to be preached by these disciples. It's going to be preached eventually among all nations, but it's going to start in Jerusalem. He says, until that time comes, you are to wait in the city of Jerusalem until you receive this promise and until you are endued with power from on high. Now, what we're going to do in just a minute is we're going to let the Bible explain to us exactly what Jesus is talking about here, because we're going to see the fulfillment of Jesus' words. But let's read the rest of the book. The Bible says in verse 50, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And thus ends the great book of Luke. But this is not all of Luke's writing in the Bible, because we also have the book of Acts. And what I'd like for you to do this morning is to put your finger or a pencil or any other marker right there at Luke chapter 24. And then turn to Acts chapter 1 and be ready to look at Acts chapter 1 and also Acts chapter 2. And what we're going to do simply is this. We're going to let this text in the book of Acts explain for us in further detail Luke chapter 24, the verses that we just read. So let's begin here in Acts chapter 1. The Bible says that Jesus is with these apostles that he has chosen. And the Bible tells us in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me." Now let's stop right there. What did Jesus tell them to do? He said, "Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait there and wait for the promise of the Father." Now what did he say back in Luke chapter 24? Well, the Bible tells us that he told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they are endued with power from on high, and he said, "I am sending the promise." Now that's Luke chapter 24, verse 49. He said, "You're going to get this promise, you're going to receive it, but you're going to have to wait in the city of Jerusalem." That is Luke 24, verse 49, and Acts chapter 1, verse 4 says exactly the same thing. Now in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, he talks about this promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. And he tells us what this promise is in verse 5. We don't have to guess about it. You see, what happens too many times, folks, is that people will read a passage like Luke chapter 24, verse 49, where he says, "I send the promise of my Father upon you," and they get into some kind of guessing game, especially if they're talking with somebody else. And sometimes Bible classes are conducted like this. "Well, what do you think that promise is? What's your opinion about what that promise consisted of?" And people start giving their opinions. If we just let the Bible explain itself, it's going to be clear. And that's what we're going to do. The Bible identifies for us what that promise was in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to be too many days from now. So what is the promise of the Father here? Well, in Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, he says the promise of the Father is that you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now notice also that in Luke chapter 24, he says to wait there until you receive this power from on high. Now, being from on high means that it came from God, obviously. But what is that power? Well, that's Luke chapter 24, verse 49, and in Acts chapter 1, the Bible explains that even more. We've already seen that the promise is the promise of Holy Spirit baptism, and in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, look at it very carefully. Acts 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So Jesus here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, identifies the power. The power is the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit baptism gave them this power. So you see, Acts chapter 1 identifies for us exactly what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 24. Now there's one other thing that Jesus talked about there that we haven't read about so much in the book of Acts. And that is this preaching of repentance and remission of sins. So with that in mind, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Now it's Pentecost day of Acts chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1 that the day of Pentecost was fully come. And they were all with one accord in one place. This is talking about the apostles. The Bible tells us in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit has now descended upon these apostles. Now they have received that promise. Now they have been endued with that power. Now you see, Isaiah chapter 2, as well as Daniel 2 and Joel 2, are about to come to pass. All of this is about to come to fulfillment. In Acts chapter 2, the apostles received the promise, Holy Spirit baptism. They now have special power. Even though they had the Holy Spirit before, they've never had the Spirit to the measure that they have it now. And they have power now, even greater than what they had when Jesus was upon the earth. So the Bible tells us that they began to preach. And the Bible takes us especially to Peter's preaching here in verse 14. And as he preaches to these people, he talks about these Old Testament prophecies that are being fulfilled beginning that very day. And going all the way down to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. The Bible tells us in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So notice what we have taking place here. Peter is preaching. And what is he preaching to these people? Well, he's preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, and he's also preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he tells these people that they are guilty of crucifying the Son of God. So he preached to them, and when they wanted to know what to do to be saved, what did Peter say? In verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, what did Jesus tell them to preach according to Luke chapter 24, verse 47? He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. That is exactly what Peter preached. He told them to repent, and he told them to be baptized for the remission of sins, in order to obtain, in order to have the forgiveness of sins. So folks, when you put Luke chapter 24 side by side with Acts chapter 1, you find that Luke chapter 24 says Jerusalem is where all this was to begin, and Acts chapter 1 and 2 says Jerusalem was that very place. Luke chapter 24 talks about the promise, so does Acts 1 and 2. Luke 24 talks about the power, so does Acts 1 and 2. Luke 24 talks about repentance and remission of sins, so does Acts 2:38. And Luke 24 talks about all nations, and so does Acts chapter 1. Folks, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, here we have Mark's account of that same great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Thank you for listening today. It's been such a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.